Well, as parents, we're bound to make a mistake or two, but here's a pretty dramatic example of a particularly harsh lesson that one dad learned when he failed to treat his son with love.
He came in about 10 minutes after, and I was out in the garage, and he came in and he said, "I'm sorry, I'm late, Dad," and I reached over and backhanded that boy, knocked him off his bike and over into the wall. There's blood running down his mouth, and he said, "Daddy, I love you." And I fell to my knees, and I asked forgiveness from God and of that boy. And through that, Jesus taught me to love.
Well, we'll have much, much more from that gentleman speaking right there, with some emotion and even some laughter along the way. This is Focus on the Family with Jim Daly, and you won't want to miss even a minute of this presentation, I promise you. I'm John Fuller, and today, one of our most memorable programs from the past 33 years.
John, that clip grips my heart. I mean, I can relate to that clip. We just heard from our guest, Don Coble, because my relationship with my dad, although not violent like that, had elements of it. When he would drink, John, there was a different man that came out of him. And that clip just refreshes or brings up those memories for me. So I think today's program will grip the heart of every one of you out there, and it would be a good one to think about a friend or someone else who needs to listen today. So call them up and tell them to tune in or go to the website and listen, because this one is a gripper.
Well, Don was a military man, definitely a tough guy, a man's man, if you will, who worked his way up the ranks to the level of lieutenant colonel in the Army. And as we commemorate Memorial Day here in the U.S., we hope this program will touch many of our military families who listen in and need some encouragement.
John, I want to thank my own brother, Mike Daly, who served in the military during Vietnam, and to all the families out there who have served this country so well and admirably, I want to say thank you on this Memorial Day.
Well, one of the things, Jim, that we've tried to do here at Focus on the Family is to come alongside those families who are really dealing with these burdens. I mean, oftentimes it seems a soldier is off to his or her second or third tour, and the family is back in the States, and we're here to help. We have resources for those who are dealing with those kinds of circumstances. All right, let's go ahead and hear now from Don Coble with a message we've called Softening a Crusty Heart on today's Focus on the Family.
I wasn't raised in a Christian home. In fact, I was born on a little farm down in southern Missouri. We was about 7 miles north of Arkansas. And they used to accuse us of having one leg short on another for walking around on them hills. But there was 12 of us kids in our family. My dad usually called the roll when we come to supper. But we had a lot of fun down there as I was growing up as a youngster, and we didn't have a whole lot as far as material things, but I really loved my dad. And my dad always took time for me, always. And he taught me a lot of things. When I was 13 years old, my dad dropped dead of a heart attack. And we'd made a lot of plans together, and that wasn't in it. And I really loved that man. And I didn't have him anymore, and it took me about 6 months before I could come to grips with that. It just absolutely destroyed me. And I felt cheated, and I got angry at the world. And so I struck out in rebellion. Nobody led me into sin. There wasn't any wrong crowd that come and got me. I built the wrong crowd and went and got others. And I really went into some bad things and really broke my mother's heart and just struck out at the world. And I got caught up in it, and we were had a little home brew project down the gym. And principal didn't think a lot of that. And so I got expelled, and finally I got old enough where a good friend of mine decided that maybe I ought to try the service. He was the deputy sheriff. And so I went in the service, got on the Greyhound bus, and I was sizing everybody up to see what's going on. We got on down there to the place where they was going to do basic training on us. And I was sizing guys up, and there was a fella out there hollering to everybody, line up and fall in and all that, and we was horsing around. You know, I was playing the role as the big gunner. And this fella come over and said, young man, you hear me? I said, fall in over. I said, I'll be there in a minute. He hit me. I hit the ground. I was looking up at that fella, and he was a good-sized fella, about an 18-and-a-half-inch neck. And he picked me up and put me in the line there, and he got in front of us, and he said, man, I want to tell you something. He said, I'll be your mother, your father, your girlfriend, your chaplain. I'm everything to you. And I believed him. And the thought crossed my mind at that time that maybe there was one or two things I hadn't learned yet. So I tried to pay attention, and I went on about my business there in the Army, but it really took a hold of me, and it was the dynamic that I needed, discipline. My father's a disciplinarian. I had missed a lot of that, and so I appreciated this sergeant and became my DI, and he taught me a lot of things, and one thing he taught me is shut my mouth. So I worked hard and tried to pay attention, finally got out of basic without dying, and got on into the service and really tried to make something of myself. And after my first hitch, I thought, well, that's it. I've taught them about all I can here, and I guess I better go on back. So I went on back home, and when I got off the bus, there was my dear friend. And so me and the deputy got in his car, and we went down, had some coffee, and he said, you know, Don, we've cleaned up a lot of places around here in them 3 years, and he went on to tell me a lot of things and convinced me that I really wasn't needed there any longer. And that I ought to go out and further the education of other communities. So I decided the best thing for me to do is get back in the service. So I did, and I hadn't been in back in long, and I was a sergeant then, and the company commander called me in and said, we're sending you to OCS. I said, no, I don't want to go. He said, I didn't ask you that. You're going to OCS. It's pretty difficult to argue when you stand at attention. So I went on to OCS, and I wouldn't go through that school again for Brigadier General. I finally got out and got my commission, and then I went on back home on furlough and spied this little girl that I'd tried to date. In fact, she was a church person. And her family was church people. They weren't saved, but they had a lot of religion, a lot of ritual, but nothing real. And she thought, well, I'll go ahead and marry this fella. I'll change him, get him straight away, you know. And so we got married, and she made the tactical mistake of thinking that she was going to change me. I was a heavy drinker by then, and I was really a workaholic. I worked very hard. One day, I was at the Command General Staff College. I'd gone to Vietnam and had survived that and came back and was promoted again and went to Command General Staff College. And I was there working very hard, wanting to make very good in the commandant's list and the top 10% of the class, and didn't have time at all for my family. I just kind of used them. I didn't really have time. I hadn't told my wife I loved her since I conned the preacher into marrying us. And I didn't love her. I had affection for her. I had lust after her. She met a part of my life that I needed companionship in, but I didn't love her. I didn't know how to love because I wore a great big mask. You see, I loved my dad desperately. And as a result of that, when I lost him, I couldn't get hurt again. And so I put on a big mask and a big front. And I went back to Vietnam again, and this time I had a little more rank. And she, before I had gone to Vietnam this last time, she tried to commit suicide. Praise God, she was unsuccessful. And the neighbor then, a few days after the trauma wore off, came over and presented Jesus Christ in a real way, and she got saved. And she tried to tell me about her faith and her Lord, and I didn't want to hear it. I didn't have time for Jesus. One day she said, don't you think maybe you ought to get your kids to Sunday school? I allowed to tell you, I probably ought to do that, and it's probably good for the career. I'm getting close to general, and I ought to have everything squared away. And so we went downtown in a little bitty church and got down there and went in, and something scared me right away. There was some men in the church. Now, I'd been in and out of churches quite a bit. I used to date young girls. Their folks had never told them about guys like me. Going to churches real easy, no problem. And I'd see a lot of women. See a man up there behind the thing, and a lot of women, some retired fella maybe, giving out bulletins, and a real nice fella. But I didn't see the ruggedness of manhood that I had been trained was a man. I didn't see any men standing for their faith. And so when I walked in this little church, and here was two big dudes, remind me of that DI that had put me through it. And they said, "Welcome, how are you?" One almost broke my hand, the other one dislocated my shoulder. And it really bothered me. Well, these guys are men. What are they doing in a church?
Well, that's an interesting question from our speaker on today's edition of Focus on the Family, and we'll continue on with Lieutenant Colonel Don Coble in just a moment. I did want to let you know that you can hear this program, order CDs, and download the podcast version of the broadcast at focusonthefamily.com/radio or in Canada, focusonthefamily.ca. Let's go ahead and continue now with Lieutenant Colonel Don Coble.
So I went over and sat down with my family and everybody there, and in came this choir and this fellow, white hair, crew cut, the great big Bible in his hand. They come in, and the choir did their thing, and he opened the book and got up and started to preach. And he said, "Open up to John." And everybody's rustling. I looked around, and every one of them men had a Bible. I'd never seen that before. And pretty soon I was sitting there, and one of these fellas come over and plop, and there was a Bible in my hand now. I was about halfway through the service before my son said, "Turn it over, turn it over." And I was sweating, miserable. That guy's talking about Jesus Christ paying the price for my sin and all my phoniness and all my rottenness, already paid for, all that debt already canceled. And I got up and left. And after a while, I was out there smoking. I looked like Kaiser Steel. It was just miserable. Thought I'd have to get better to die. And finally, she came out. Everybody come out. I got in the car, laid some rubber out, went back to the Ford. I said, "That man's crazy. Don't ever ask me to go back down here again." In the past, she would have been on me like ugly on an ape. She just said, "Yes, dear. Fine." And that made me madder. And I just commenced cussing and ranting and raving. And I finally shut up when my children started crying. I was miserable that week. I was sick. That guy was crazy. He kept saying something about Pilate, a fellow by the name of Pilate, and they're hanging Jesus on the cross. And he told the crowd, "What are you going to do with this Jesus who is called Christ?" And that kept waking me up at night. I couldn't get that out of my mind. What should you do with Jesus who is called Christ? And all week long, it just bugged me and just tore my guts out. And I was miserable. Finally, woke up Sunday morning just clear as a bell. Went in, started fixing breakfast. The family come in. "So what are you doing, Dad?" I said, "I'm getting breakfast." "I said, how come?" I said, "We're going to church." I looked around. Man, I didn't want to go to church. That was the last place I wanted to go. I couldn't help myself. My wife didn't say, "Well, I told you so. I knew we'd get you." She never said any of that. She just said, "Hey, that's fine, honey, if that's what you'd like to do." And that made me angry. And we ate, and I went down there, and we even beat the preacher to the church. I was sitting there, and a voice kept telling me, "Coble, you dumb guy, get out of here, get out of here." It was about a foot or so from my hand to the keys, and I didn't have the power to turn the key on. I couldn't move my hand. I couldn't leave. I wanted to leave. I couldn't. Finally, the preacher come, and I thought I was the only guy in there, and I was miserable. My tie got all tight, and I was sweating. I undid my tie, and I did the best I could to get up, and I couldn't do it. And he said that Jesus Christ was the bridge between me and God. And that all the religion in the world wouldn't get me right with God. And if I didn't have Christ, I was going to hell. Because the Bible said that you can't get into heaven unless you're holy. Well, I knew that ruled me out because I wasn't holy. I'd lived a lie so long I believed it myself. And he went on and preached, and I don't remember a lot of the other things he said, but then he went on and he said, "What are you going to do with this Jesus who is called the Christ?" And that triggered what had been inside my head for a week. And he said, if you want to get your heart right with God, I ask you to come right now. Because if you're not serious enough about it to do it publicly, then it's another lie. And I got up there, and here's this old fella up there. He said, what do you want, young man? I said, I want to do what you said. He said, what's that? He made it awful hard on me. I said, I want to get right with God. I want to have Jesus. I didn't know what to say. He said, you want to be saved? I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, are you willing to put Jesus Christ in control of your life? I said, yes, I am. He said, then on that basis, let's go to Calvary. And we knelt right there while they were singing Amazing Grace. And I asked Christ into my heart. This fantastic experience. Got home, ran, looked in the mirror. I looked the same. Now look, that guy sold me a bill of goods. And my wife asked me what the problem was, and I told her, I said, I don't look any different. And she said, it's inside. Jesus is inside. And then she started sharing with me, and then I felt all right. So we got down to business, and I first thing God did is take away my X-rated mouth. And I had to fish for words and everything, and it was kind of weird. I'd be in a little circle of people, and everybody would be talking that talk, and I'd try not to talk that talk, and then pretty soon they'd quiet down, and it was kind of weird because I wasn't talking that talk. And they'd start stumbling around. We'd all be stumbling around, trying to talk to one another. And then God worked on the booze angle. I had a private bar in my home and about $300 worth of booze. Kept it stocked. And I thought, well, Lord, all right, I'll give that up. And I'll give it to my neighbor. And the Lord seemed to tell me, well, if it ain't good for you, it ain't good for him. So I started pouring it down the sink, and my wife come in from grocery shopping and seen me pouring all this booze down, quart after quart of it. I know the garbage man that next Monday said, well, he did it again. But God delivered me. And then God did something fantastic. He gave me a love for my woman. I'd never experienced it before. It was fantastic. I loved her just like she was. I was so thankful for that woman. And I couldn't tell her enough how much I loved her. It just was just overwhelming. And I loved my kids. But I didn't love my kids until I went through a deep water with them. I was one of them kind of guys that made a federal case out of most everything. And when I told my children to be home 9 o'clock, it didn't mean 1 minute after. You could come in 5 minutes early. Wouldn't be penalized too hard for that. But don't ever be late. And I told my oldest son, you be home 9 o'clock and... He came in about 10 minutes after, and I was out in the garage, and he came in, and he said, I'm sorry, I'm late, Dad. And I reached over and backhanded that boy, knocked him off his bike and over into the wall. And there was blood running down his mouth, and he said, Daddy, I love you. And I fell to my knees, and I asked forgiveness from God and of that boy. And through that, Jesus taught me to love and stop condemning and ridiculing. And I praise God for the love that he's given me. And then I started growing, and I expected too much too soon. Pretty soon my life became a roller coaster, up, down, all around. And I was losing my peace. I was losing my joy. And then I noticed the old mask started coming, trying to get back on me. And I was comparing myself with other people. And I found that that's wrong. And I searched the Word of God, and the thing that kept coming into my mind was, what shall I do with this Jesus who is called Christ? And I started searching the Word of God. And I found out in these blessed scriptures that there is a plan to be God's man. Jesus said in John the 12th chapter, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be, and my Father will honor the one who serves me. What are you going to do with this Jesus who is called Christ, Don Coble? I had to die to self. I had to die to my own desires. You see, I'd used the Lord kind of like an overcoat. When things got bad and the weather turned foul, I put him on. But when the sunshine come out, I hung him back up on the peg and went on my way. I had to make a decision. If you're here today and you don't know him in a living, personal, real way, my dear friend, I don't believe that you're one of his. Because the Bible says you have to have fruit. Fruit. And Jesus said that there isn't any fruit that comes from a thorn bush. And I found in my own life that until he was Lord of all, he wasn't Lord at all. What are you going to do with this Jesus who is called the Christ? Where do you stand with your wife, fellas? God's got the power to heal your marriage. I don't care what it is. Jesus Christ has got the power if you've got the desire. But it has to start with you. The security of your whole family rests on you. What a glorious privilege that is. God wants all of us. That's all he wants. If you're here today and you don't know him as your personal Savior, I'm going to ask you today, don't get caught up in some religion. You can have ritual running out your ears, but unless you have the real thing, your life won't be changed. All of these dynamics of becoming God's man is simply getting our priorities together. The Lord Jesus Christ, my woman, my children, and everything else. And when I get those out of order, I'm going down. But when I keep those in order, looking to Jesus, what God does is put it together one brick at a time. And God wants to put your life together on this mountain one brick at a time. I don't care what your problem. God loves you, and he wants all of you that you may experience all of him. Let's stand together.
What a moving, emotional message by Lieutenant Colonel Don Coble. And it's pretty easy for you to see why this has been such a popular presentation here through the years at Focus on the Family. He was so transparent about his needs and, frankly, the need that every one of us has for a personal relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And, Jim, we've prayed, and I know someone in our audience was stirred by Don's passion for God.
John, how could you not be? I mean, I'm stirred. I want to get down on my knees once again and say, Lord, come into my heart. And I'm sure you're right, John. I'd like to speak directly to that person right now because this is a very important moment, one that could have an impact on all of eternity. Mm. And here's the big question, John, the same one that haunted Don. What will I do with this Jesus who is called the Christ? I mean, it doesn't matter if you're in a position of power and influence, as Don was, or if, you know, you're of humble circumstances. There comes a time when you need to bow your heart and your head, and you need to say, Jesus, I've sinned. I need you, and I don't want to spend eternity without you. I want to make you Lord of my life, and I want to accept this free gift of salvation that you have to offer. That's the essence of the message, and that's the essence of that conversation with the Lord. And I know you're out there listening right now, and you're contemplating that message, and you have that question. Yield your heart and your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, Jim, in 1 John, we read that if we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive those sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that is such a powerful moment for someone to come to say, I yield, as you just put it there, and I want that forgiveness, Lord.
John, that's it. I mean, that is it. And what a bargain. I mean, I believe, again, that somebody is ready to accept that free gift right now. And we'd be remiss if we didn't take this moment, John, to pray and ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to work in someone's heart right now as they're listening. And if you would, join me in this prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm speaking at this moment on behalf of someone who desperately needs a healing and forgiving touch from you. Perhaps their sins are so great they don't even believe that even God could wipe away the guilt. There are others who have no meaning and feel no purpose in their lives. They're in search of something worth living for. And there are others who have actually been contemplating perhaps suicide or some other destructive behavior. I ask you to reach down in love and touch each person who's praying this prayer along with me. Lord, I can't tell who it is, but you know. And Lord, you forgive regardless of our sins. You promise to forgive and cleanse their hearts and speak to each person in the terms they need to hear. And may this moment right now be a turning point that would be remembered not only for the rest of their lives, but throughout eternity. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for loving us. Lord, we have no idea why you do. We have no concept of why the God of the universe would be mindful of us, would listen when we pray, would invite us to come to his throne. And yet, Lord, you do. And I thank you for that. And we just ask once again, Lord, that you'd put an arm around those folks who have prayed this prayer with me today. What a privilege it is to serve you, Lord, and to expand your family of believers. And I hope to meet these folks someday, Lord, that we might rejoice together in eternity with you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And I believe, Jim, that there is great rejoicing in heaven. There are people who have prayed along with you and who have found new life and forgiveness in Christ.
Well, and let's thank Don Coble for such a powerful, powerful message and testimony, and his vulnerability, his willingness to share about how he treated his children before he knew the Lord and how he learned to love because of that.
And we know that God is the author of love, and I think Don's story really embodies that truth. Now, if you've prayed along with Jim, please let us know that so our staff can rejoice with you and with all those angels in heaven as well. And if you'd like information about the Christian life, either for yourself or to share with a friend, we have an excellent article online called Coming Home, An Invitation to Join God's Family. And we also have that in booklet form. You can find that at focusonthefamily.com/radio or in Canada, focusonthefamily.ca. Again, that's called Coming Home. And as I said, we also have that in printed form. We also have CDs available of this presentation and additional resources as well. Now, if you'd like, just give us a call. Our toll-free number here is 800, the letter A, and the word family. Or for our Canadian friends, just call our Vancouver office at 1-800-661-9800. Well, please keep focus in your prayers. We're a not-for-profit organization, and we do need your prayer support as well as your financial gifts so we can share great messages like this one today with folks who need to find that relationship with God that they seek so desperately. And if you'd like to partner with us on a monthly basis, just ask about that when you have us on the phone. And we mentioned this just a few days ago, but if you ever hear a dynamic testimony like this one, please send it in to us for review. We'd love to give it a listen. And you can send that to me, John Fuller, at Focus on the Family. Our mailing address here, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80995. Our program today was provided by Focus on the Family, and on behalf of Jim Daly and our entire broadcast team, I'm John Fuller, thanking you for listening and inviting you back next time when we'll talk about having that marriage you've always dreamed of as we once again turn our hearts toward home.